serum infusion. Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's Geek Stuff, TNG.
Who?
The longest running geek-related podcast out there, Geek Stuff TNG.
Allegedly.
But also, really.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. I'm Spider-Man, then.
I am the Senate.
I am the Sandwich.
I can handle things! I'm smart! Not like everybody says! Like, dumb! I'm smart, and I want respect!
They don't know what it's like running a sandwich shop. You know, it takes a village to run the sandwich shop.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I'm Groot.
I am Batman!
I am West Coast Scott.
Great Scott!
Oh, actually, he's the boss. I just pay for everything and design everything and make everyone look cooler.
I am Big Kev.
Who the hell knows why talent does what they do? That's why they're talent.
Me and Scott.
Yeah.
The real talent on the show.
Oh, boy.
As I like to say.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I have a very long history with those characters. Scott will remember this, but Sandwich won't because he was 4.
I understood that reference.
I am Optimus Prime.
Why did you say that name?
Punch it!
Hey everybody, this is supposed to be a week off, but we are going to just do a interview with Travis from Archwood Games about his new Kickstarter Pantheon, which is going now through, I believe it's October 1st. So you've got some time to support that one. So I will, before I jump into the interview, I'll just remind you, if you go to linktree.com/geekstufftng, you can find all the links for everyone on the show and all the show links and everything. One of the things you can find there is our Patreon link where you can support the show for $1 a month, get access to the Discord server where you can see Vicious Smith correcting all of the mistakes that I made. For $3 a month, it is the early bird special where you get the shows as soon as we're done recording them. $5 a month, it's the bonus round where you get vintage episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. And at $10 a month, you get to watch the show live and direct on our Zoom as we are recording it, and then you can watch the playback of the video feature. Of course, you could always call the GVM line, 201-730-2547, if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, and you may hear yourself on a future episode of Geek Stuff TNG. You can also email us at geekstufftng@gmail.com. All right, so this is going to be episode 779. We're going to call it Pantheon, because that's the name of the game that Trevor is introducing over there on Kickstarter. Let me see. Let me knock out some news stories before we do that. Did you guys see that George R.R. Martin was kind of dissing House of Dragons on on his blog, and I think he had to pull that back down. I don't think HBO was too thrilled about that. They're doing open casting over there at HBO for their Harry Potter season series. So, you know, if you're a young redhead, you can apply to be the Ron Weasley for the show there. I am looking forward to the Penguin show. I'm sure it's going to be The Sopranos meets Gotham City. That's what everybody's saying about it. I think Colin Farrell is ready to be done with it, though. All of that makeup was really tough on him. So we shall see if he is going to do it again for season two. But I haven't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to it. Hoping to see some more of that soon. Let's see, what else is going on over at Netflix? What, Joe Manganiello and Lita Abova are joining One Piece season two. I haven't watched One Piece season one yet, but I think Sandwich thought it was pretty good. Let's see. The Detroiters is going to be launching on Netflix pretty soon. That is a show from a guy named Tim Robinson, who has a Netflix show called I Think You Should Leave, which is a pretty funny, really goofy sketch comedy show. So I'm looking forward to see some of his earlier work, The Detroiters. I think it's going to be pretty funny. There's also going to be a Ghostbusters animated series over on Netflix. I wonder if that's going to be similar to the old 80s one called The Real Ghostbusters, when there was still some controversy over who owned the copyright for Ghostbusters, right? What else? Let's see. Steve Carell and Tina Fey are going to be in a Netflix comedy series called The Four Seasons. So you got a couple of pretty significant comedy stars there. That should be pretty good. I'm hoping it's a comedy. I don't know. What else can I tell you? Let's see. Let's scroll down into some of the news. Let me just do some more quick hit stuff that we have not been covering, that's been cluttering up the prep sheet for a while. Let's see. Michael B. Jordan's going to direct and star in a new Thomas Crown Affair. So I guess that's going to be a remake of the remake going forward. Time for a new Thomas Crown. Probably always a good heist feature. This is going to be a movie called Coke versus Pepsi, The Cola Wars, with Judd Apatow and Steven Spielberg over at Sony. That seems like some serious talent for a Coke-Pepsi movie. But I don't know. The Tetris movie was good. The BlackBerry movie was good. So maybe this will be a good movie. There's a development of, let's see, Kevin Costner is putting too much of his own money into his own flop films. So maybe he's going to go bankrupt. Let's see. And I'm just realizing that when it's just me talking and there's no talent on the show, there's no heart and soul of the show, that this isn't all that exciting. So I'm just going to take it to commercial break. This first and only commercial on episode 779, Pantheon. And we'll come back from break right into the interview with Trevor from Archwood Games.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Yeah.
We need to get the word out that the listeners can be involved with Geek Stuff TNG directly by using our GVM line
201-730-2547.
Maybe we could use our seductive voices?
Huh?
Our what?
All right, here. Let's read these lines in our most seductive voices, like this.
Hey there. We want you to be a part of Geek Stuff TNG with your questions and your comments.
Oh!
That's right. We want you to tell us what's on your mind. What we are doing that you like.
So call us on the GVM line, 201-730-2547, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Geek Stuff TNG.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
Hi, this is Kevin, co-owner of The Hungry Dragon, here with my other co-owner, Johnny.
Hello.
So, Johnny, where can they find us?
Well, you can find us on Facebook, The Hungry Dragon.
And you can find us on Instagram at the_hungry_dragon. And if you want to, our best way to get a hold of all our live events is on our Discord. There's a link to it on our Facebook cover page. If you click the cover, there's a link right to it.
We are a gaming shop and cafe located in Murrieta, California. We are open from noon to 8 o'clock.
From Tuesday to Thursday. And on Fridays and Saturdays, we're open from noon to 10 p.m. And we're just closed on Mondays.
All right. We look forward to seeing you there.
In a world where geek culture reigns supreme, there's a hidden gem that shines brighter than any Infinity Stone. Get ready for Huracan, the ultimate comic art convention with a heart.
But what can you expect at Huracan 2024? Get ready for a vibrant tapestry of comic books, writers, artists, toys, food, raffles for unique items, collectibles, cosplay, fellowship, and much more. Previous guests have included renowned comic book professionals and local artists. And let's not forget about the famous raffle table that has gained acclaim as the best raffle table of any convention on Long Island. Huracan just isn't a convention. It's a testament to resilience, community spirit, and power of the geek culture to unite and uplift. So mark your calendars and save the dates for Huracan 2024.
On November 23rd, immerse yourself in a world where passion meets purpose. Follow Huracan on Facebook and Instagram, and join us at the Bethany Congregational Church, 100 Main Street in East Rockaway, for an experience like no other. Huracan 2024, the ultimate celebration of geek culture and community. Don't miss out.
Build your own X-Wing. Luke Skywalker's legendary Red 5 Starfighter from the Star Wars saga. The X-Wing is recreated in stunning detail in a massive 1:18 scale and comes complete with remote-activated working lights, R2-D2 motorized wings, removable hyperdrive opening cockpit, and a magazine full of fascinating facts, plus an amazing step-by-step assembly guide. You will also receive a free binder, power pack, and bookends. Model space.
And now, another classic Geek Stuff ID.
Hey, this is Frank Miller from Some Very Dark Place, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Geek Stuff TNG.
Live from the Sandwich Shop, Pyday Productions in sunny Southern California, and Big Kev Huna Studios, it's Geek Stuff TNG. During our commercial break, you heard from our amazing sponsor, BuildXWing.com. This model is in 1:18 scale, making it the only fully scaled, fully detailed X-Wing ever made for use with your 3¾ Star Wars action figures. This X-Wing features many amazing details, like the proton torpedo bay, working engine lights, and a light-up R2-D2. You can add your own boops, bops, and beeps. The S-foils open to attack position. The laser cannons simulate firing, and the engine lights power up, all by remote control. We recommend you take them up on their premium offer. You get 1:18 scale hanger accessories to create a detailed display of your X-Wing, including crates, tanks, personnel transporter, landing lamps, fuel pump, ladder, as well as several static figures, including ground crew members, and even Luke Skywalker himself. When you sign up for your subscription each month, in addition to your parts of the model, you'll get 4 full-color magazines featuring instructions for the parts you've received, fascinating articles about the original models used in the movies, and more. You can collect these great source materials in a free binder, which you'll receive as part of your subscription. As a fan of collectibles, you may have seen models like this online or shows or conventions. And I don't need to tell you, the price tag can be quite high. The genius of the system is that you're paying a little each month as well as having fun putting it together yourself. You can check out more info over at buildxwing.com or reach them by phone at 877-544-6779. Check them out today.
All right, so this is going to be an interview with Trevor Kurth from Archwood Games. I was lucky enough to meet him out at the local game convention out here in Escondido, which is called Escon, that I go to about twice a year. And I think I've seen, Trevor, I've seen you a few times out there as you were playtesting your game.
Yeah, it took me a couple of conventions to get everything worked out. So I think I took it to Escon three different times, and some people got to see it in a whole bunch of different stages.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it, right? You got a room full of people that like games, and you can stay in one spot and have a bunch of people come to you, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that local convention is great because you can get a spot right next to the door and kind of flag down everyone who's coming in. So great traffic there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit about the game first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working on it for a little bit under 2 years now, and it's a 1-4 player game, plays in about 45 minutes with engine builder and area control kind of mixed together. The name of the game is Pantheon, and so that was a sort of a made-up word that I came up with. It's kind of like Pantheon, and it's focused on the Greek gods of the Pantheon, but mainly we're focusing on the demigods. So I grew up reading a lot of the Percy Jackson series, if you're familiar with that,
yeah.
With all the different demigods that go on their grand adventures, trying to deal with the gods who are sort of messing with them along the way. And I always really loved that idea of the gods are sort of squabbling and getting involved with this family feud. So let's have the demigods come in and use their abilities and kind of help out along the way. So the game focuses on an area control board where you take the role of one of the gods, recruiting a big team of demigods to join you. Each one of the demigods that you recruit gives you new abilities and new powers to kind of break some of the rules to kind of undermine your opponents. So it's a strategy game that plays really well for anywhere 2-4 players with a solo mode in there.
Nice. And so this is, you just started your Kickstarter, I think, this week. And
yeah, so I launched on Tuesday, so that was a couple days ago, and to my absolute amazement, it absolutely took off. So we met our goal in 26 minutes, which was incredible.
Nice.
I was shocked to just watch those numbers just appear all of a sudden, but we've been doing a lot of campaigning, a lot of getting the word out there, going to the conventions, putting our ads out there, getting Facebook kind of excited about it, being on Instagram and TikTok, all those kind of places, and giving a lot of people a chance to play it to see what they think about the game. So I was really pleased to see that everyone who had seen the game and had an experience with the game was coming back and ready to get their own copy.
Yeah, it was. I had a lot of fun with it. I'll be backing it on Kickstarter as well. So tell me, what do you get on the Kickstarter? What's the price points? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we wanted to keep it pretty straightforward. So we've got three different tiers depending on what you like in your games. There's the base tier. We're calling that the Mortal tier. That gets you the game. It comes with kind of everything you need to play it. It's $39, which is a 40% discount off of what it's going to be once it hits retail. So we're trying to make sure that early adopters get a really big discount on the game.
Right.
And that comes with the base game and all the standard components in it. You're ready to play it. $39. That's the base tier for it. The next one is the middle tier. That one's the demigod tier, as we call it. $69. And that gets you the upgraded components. So all of your gods are now minifigures, and they're modeled off of the Greek statues that you would see in gardens. So it's the god standing on a pillar with their little icon printed on the pillar. So you don't have just a bunch of gray people out there. Mm-hmm. They actually have their colorful icon painted onto the pillar so you can tell which character is yours. With that one, we also upgraded the dice to this really cool custom sort of D3. And normally three-sided dice aren't that popular, but in the game, you know, every time you roll the dice, you're collecting two of the elements. So with the D3, both the sides that are face up when you roll this D3 dice are the elements you collect. So it's a really nice painted resin dice. It's a really cool upgrade from the standard D6 in the base game. So that's what you get in the middle tier. The top tier is the Olympian tier is what we've got. That comes with the upgraded game as well as the expansion pack. The expansion I didn't really want to do an expansion that just added more cards to the game. So we have an expansion that really adds new mechanics. So once you've kind of played through the base game, you can add to it and really dive into more strategy. So on this one, it's called Monsters and Mandates. Oh. So it's two expansion packs in one. The monster side of it is monsters start invading the world and you have to collect a new resource and manage a new resource to try to fight off these monsters. You can either scare them away and they just leave your landscape, or you can defeat them and you get a big boon for defeating them. It's a one-time power-up, essentially. The other part of the expansion pack is the Mandates, where the story is Hades got jealous that Zeus is telling you to do a bunch of stuff. So he's showing up and he's telling you to do a little side project. So you kind of have to go on a side mission while you're playing the full game. And if you don't make him happy by the end of the game, you get a big penalty. So those are the two expansion packs that come in that. And that all comes in the top tier. We're also trying to discount the shipping in the top tier, so you don't pay any more for shipping than you would in any of the other tiers, even though the expansion pack is in there, to try to keep costs even lower for everyone.
Cool. And what was the top tier cost?
Oh, that's $99.
Yeah, it's all of that under 100. So you went, it's 39, it's 69, and it's 99.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's pretty clean tiers, and you know exactly what you're getting in each one of those.
Awesome. Cool. So you said you've been working on this one for about 2 years. Is this your first game, or have you done other games before this one?
You know, I've done a couple other games, none that were at a point that I wanted to publish.
Okay.
So I've written a decent number of sort of one-shot campaigns for Gloomhaven. My friends and I have kind of come up with our own games. One that was fun is we took chess and we made a draft version. So each piece has a price and you had a set amount of money to start the game and you would buy pieces before playing chess. So you could have two queens, but hardly anything else. Or you could have a side full of pawns and a couple other pieces.
Right.
So we would make up games like that. We combined a lot of games a lot of times. You know, we put Battleship and Catan together. And we're like, all right, how can we make that a game? And so I've spent a lot of time creating just different games. But this was the first one that from scratch really sat down, thought what would be a really fun theme that I would like. What's a great mechanic that I enjoy in games? How can I really create some unique mechanics between two things that I really like? And that's kind of where Pantheon started.
Cool. And so in Archwood Games, is that who else works with you on it, or is it just you?
Yeah, great question. Right now, you know, I'm doing my nights and weekends and as many hours as I can sneak away from work to work on it. But I do have a team of illustrators, artists, graphic designers that I've hired because it's amazing that the skill and the talent required to actually really bring a game to life and really elevate it to a point where people feel like they're part of the world that they're playing it. So I've got a 3D modeler who makes all my sculptures and my dice. I've got a landscape artist, and she works on the actual the pieces on the board. I have an illustrator who works on the actual gods that are in the cards, and he does a really fantastic job of creating these representations of these demigods that really come to life on the cards. And then I have a graphics designer who handles things like tokens and card borders and box cover and font, everything like that. So it's been assembling that team and just kind of sending out tasks to them, trying to sort of manage the vision and bring everything into an alignment. The hardest part is just creating a cohesive game. Yeah. You know, I want a game that advice that I was given was if someone finds a piece from your game on the floor, they should immediately know what game it goes to. So all of your pieces should really have a cohesive feel to them. You shouldn't have, you know, hard vector lines on one piece and then soft oil painting on another piece. So that was really the goal, was to bring together a cohesive look for the game.
Yeah, it's funny because even if you've got the concept for the game, the play, you know, the gameplay and all that is down, you still have to, it has to look good. It has to fit together. It has to be something that somebody's going to see on the shelf and go, oh yeah, that looks cool. Because it could be the best game in the world, but if the cover art is, you know, blah, or the name isn't right or whatever, like who knows what's going to be the thing that might make it not take off, right?
Absolutely. The best games in the world will collect dust on the shelf if they're not fun to look at and fun to engage with and right. Feel like you're a part of the game.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I know you're testing for the card art and the landscape colors and all those things. It's like, that's a lot of decisions and it all comes down to you, right? The buck stops with you. Yeah. It's all your call on that.
Absolutely. So it's been quite a challenge of bringing that together. You know, during the first sort of 6 months to 9 months of playtesting, when I would go to conventions and meet with people, a lot of my questions were, did this feel like a good game? Was the pacing right? Did you feel like the rules weren't good? Were you confused by anything? You know, mechanics questions. And then after that, my questions changed to, which art was your favorite art? Mm-hmm. What piece do you feel like doesn't belong here? Did you recognize that you were making a temple as you were putting your cards together? You know, does this look clean? Is this box or this box more appealing to you? And that was a whole nother 6 to 9 months of testing the artwork and making sure that people really felt like it was satisfying and it was exciting and fun to look at and fun to play with.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. You've done all the work on both sides of that sounds like, right. Obviously that's why it funded in, what did you say, 26 minutes?
26 minutes.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Thrilled about that.
So was there some aspect of the game, like a rule or something about the gameplay that you really wanted to be in there, but then it just didn't work and you had to abandon, or did you kind of have it? I mean, what kind of changes did you make to the gameplay over time?
There were, oh gosh, so many of those. You know, the first game that I made was terrible. You know, the first version of this, and I put some friends through it, and we got stuck in an infinite loop where there was just no way to end the game. Yeah. And I made them play it for like an hour and a half, and they had to say, like, Trevor, this isn't going anywhere. Like, there's no way for this game to end. And I had to say, you're right. I've got a big hole in my bucket here, and like, things are just not working with this game. So thankfully, I've met with a lot of really patient playtesters who have been willing to give me great suggestions, great advice, and sit with me and just kind of workshop a lot of ideas. One thing that I ran into was I tried this really fun mechanic where, depending on what demigod you had and what monster came out, if you reviewed the lore, you know, Hercules battling the Hydra, okay, then you got a discount if you had Hercules on your team and you went for the Hydra. But it just became such a complex sort of connection where you had to really have a strong understanding of the mythology, and there was a reference sheet to understand what it was doing, but you had to keep on checking your cards and keep on checking what monsters, and it was really cool thematically, but it just slowed the game down so much. So that was one that I really wish had been able to stick around in the game, but it just, that one's going to have to be for my next game where I have some kind of connection like that. But it just got really, really slow, and no one was really enjoying it, even though the theme was cool. Mechanically, it just really hurt the game. So had to drop that one, simplify that a little bit. You've still got really cool monsters coming out. You've still got really great demigods that you can hire, but you're sending armies after the monsters instead of having to do this little indexing of figuring out which character you have and who beat what monster at what time and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so that was a sad one to lose, but it was a great change to make for the health of the game.
Right. So it's like, just to use a different analogy, so like if you were playing superheroes, if it's if you have Spider-Man and it's you know, a Spider-Man villain, then he's got a little bit more of an advantage than Iron Man would have against that villain because he knows the villain more, right? That was kind of the premise.
Exactly. That was the hope, is, you know, Spider-Man versus Green Goblin, that should be an easy win. But I liked it, but man, it just really hurt the game. So, you know, I named the game Pantheon as kind of a general name around Pantheon. And there's a lot of different pantheons. There's the Roman pantheon, there's the Norse pantheon, the Egyptian pantheon. It just means groups of gods. So I'm really hoping to expand this line of game into more different pantheons. So in my next game, you know, I've got an idea for an Egyptian themed pantheon. So maybe I can come up with something around there where, you know, you are able to connect these gods with the different villains they fought or the different trials that they faced, and really get a good connection on that one.
Yeah. Now you have me thinking about like all the different Ticket to Rise. They're just different maps, but it's pretty much the same game. I don't know if you can, get away with that just being the different, you know, gods and demigods, but I mean, you know, there's some idea to that, you know, you just get the pantheon that you like, you know. Oh yeah, I like Greek mythology. I like Egyptian. I like the Norse gods. You could just
I've got a whole notebook of little tweaks that I could do with different pantheons and, you know, new mechanics to introduce that I really like from other games. So it would probably in the same kind of complexity rating, mm-hmm. and I would tweak around with some of the rules. You know, this the Pantheon, the game that I'm releasing right now, is it has a really satisfying sort of spatial reasoning aspect to it,
right?
Where you're trying to place your god in a specific place in order to best interact with the map. And I'm a big fan of like the spatial reasoning kind of games where you see something like, all right, how do I get this from that side to this side the most efficient way? And I like those, so I think I'm going to keep within sort of a theme of this sort of spatial puzzle within my games.
Yeah. Now, remind me, it's been a little while since I played it, but the space, you're picking different places on the map, but they don't all have to be, like, contiguous, right? That you could be just be in different places depending on, you know, kind of what your assignments are,
yeah.
Right?
So correct. So everybody kind of, the way the game plays is, everybody is one of the Greek gods, and you all have a little a card that shows you where you want to build different landscapes. So you're either building red mountains, green forests, or blue rivers. And so you have a secret map that you're trying to create that sort of landscape around the world. Now you can shift things around on the map. So the spatial reasoning comes with, all right, how do I shift these elements from this side of the map to this side of the map so I can turn them into a river eventually? All right, how do I move these little tree elements from this side over here so eventually they can become a forest? And so I really like that aspect of kind of puzzling out on the map. How do I get from these pieces from one side to the other so they can become the final vision that I have on my card?
Right, and like we'll each have different cards, so some elements on my map might match yours, so we may kind of be working together to make a certain area of the map, you know, forest, but then right. What I have next to it is the river, and what you have next to it is the desert, so we're fighting to change that one, right? And
right.
When you have all four players, they're going to have four different maps.
Right. So every player has their own, it's called their divine plan. It's their own special card that has their map of what they want it to be. And there's a bunch of random maps in the game. But you're right. Some of the gods are going to be working together. Some of them are going to be squabbling against each other. And I really like that because it kind of resonates with the Greek mythology of like, okay, we're going to pretend we like each other until our goals don't align. And then we're going to backstab each other.
Right.
And that's very, very classic with the Greek mythology. And that's really what you get to feel when you're playing the game.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, now I'm super interested in seeing the not expansions but the other versions, like with the different pantheons. That sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And so all right, so then so back to the Kickstarter. It's going on until October 9th.
Is October that right? 9th. Yep.
October 9th.
Finish up.
So as of right now, we've got right about a month to go.
Yeah, I think I'm at 27 days left. We set it up for a 30-day campaign, and I think that's going to work well. I've got some sort of mentors and advice, people who are giving me advice on how these Kickstarters normally run. And they say your first 3 days are always such a high. You know, you get so many people in and it's great. And then for the next 24 days, you sit there going, why is nobody buying my game?
Right.
So it's going to be I'm just entering that sort of slow period where it's going to be a little bit slower with the backers coming in. And then the last 3 days, you know, there's always people that are waiting for the last minute to click the game that want to see everything that's released, know exactly what they're getting. So your last 3 days, you got a big boost as well. So I'm kind of entering that slow period between the very exciting first 3 days and the equally exciting last 3 days. And until then, we're just going to keep on seeing how much we can get the word out there for people to get a chance to check out Pantheon.
All right. Well, hey, I hope some of the Geek Stuff listeners jump onto the Kickstarter and do that. Is there a specific URL, or do you just go to Kickstarter and look up Pantheon?
Yeah, the easiest way is if I can give you a URL to put in the description for this, that would be the easiest one to click. If not, if you go on Kickstarter and just search Pantheum, PANTHEUM, it's the first thing that'll pop up.
All right, I'll make sure that that we do put the actual link in the description, and then you know, hopefully people will go find it that way. So then what's next for you? Is it going to be more Pantheum games, or do you have... You're going to try something different? What's next on your agenda?
Great question. Right now, my focus is pretty narrowly focused on make sure that my backers are getting what they want. Make sure they're getting what they need. So I'd be a little bit nervous of starting a new endeavor before I completely fulfill all the orders for the Kickstarter.
Right.
You know, I don't want to have them waiting a year or see me working on something else going, hey, where's my game? I'd really like to get that thing you promised me. So right after this closes, you know, I'll move into manufacturing, which is really exciting. I'm actually going over to China to visit my manufacturer to make sure that all the pieces look nice, that they're in a great condition, that it's exactly what the customers are expecting to buy. Once we approve that, we'll move into the larger scale manufacturing. And then it's just shipping them out to the rest of the world. And we are selling, you know, fully internationally. So I've got warehouses and logistics companies helping me out, sort of direct the traffic of games to make it to their final destination. So I'm hoping that by May of next year, you know, that timeline is usually about 7 to 9 months from the time a Kickstarter finishes to the time that the game arrives at someone's door. Between manufacturing and shipping time and everything that, you know, inevitably there's hiccups and things kind of go strange. So that would be sort of my next immediate goal. I think it really depends on the response that I get, how well this campaign goes. If I found that I enjoyed it, if I'm getting, you know, feedback from people saying like, this was great, we love this, can't wait for the next one. You know, then I know I'm onto something.
Yeah.
Then I'm really set up to be like, cool, people are enjoying this. People are having fun. They're satisfied with the quality of the game. They like what they got. They liked working with me. They liked seeing the game itself. If that's the case, absolutely. Then this would be the new day job, which
right.
is always the dream.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I had a question and now I kind of forgot it, but yeah,
Once the Kickstarter is finished, the next big step for me would to really be able to get into retail, which is,
yeah.
you know, I'd like this to show up on the shelves of your local game store. I'd like it to be on Amazon. I'd like to have, you know, archwoodgames.com be able to sell it with a Shopify account. So that would really be the goal. And I think for a lot of game designers, that's sort of the dream, is figuring out a way where you can sort of streamline this process of just playing games, inventing games, coming up with really fun, satisfying themes, getting into people's hands, and just keep on going through that. You know, as sort of a creative and avid gamer my whole life, that's just always been sort of just the idea of being able to do that on rotation and just, you know, every year release something great, release something really fun, release something that your audience is really resonating with. That would be the absolute dream.
Yeah. So that was the question that I lost there. So how do you, so now Kickstarter's over, it's all delivered, everybody's got them. Like, is that when you then go, okay, here's this completed game, and you kind of go to a major game company and see, or do you try to take it to retail just as Archwood Games, or how does that work? I mean,
As my plan right now is to continue on as Archwood Games. You know, mm-hmm. once I've sort of got that established branding and one successful launch under my belt, that starts building the trust between the brand of Archwood Games and the community of board games around. So once that's established, I would love to lean into that and continue just, you know, having games on the shelf at your local shop that have the Archwood Games logo right in the corner.
Right.
So that definitely would be the goal. From what I've been advised, it seems like e-commerce is a really strong way to start for small-time publishers. To be able to get into your Walmarts and your Targets, that's a great goal to have, but it's probably going to take a couple years to get there.
Yeah.
Probably not your first game. So for the first run, you know, to make sure that everything's running smoothly, I would like to be primarily on Amazon and on my own website. And at that point, you know, obviously filling the Kickstarter fulfillment first, they're all going to get their copies first. Once those are all satisfied, then I would print more and open it up for people to be able to buy it directly online. But right now, I know it is a business model of trying to get your game pitched to the bigger publishers and see if they'll pick it up. But I'm more excited just to hold on to it myself.
Okay.
I think that if this turns out well, I'm hoping it could be onto something good.
Yeah. So I'm interested in the business of it. So basically you do your Kickstarter run and then you would have to decide, okay, you know, everything's tooled to do it. How many do I pay to print? Like, cause that's the risk that you have to take, right? You have to decide how many,
yeah.
and then, you know, are you going to be sitting those in your garage for the next year? Or are they going to sell on Amazon? You know, that's part of the next decision is, do I think I can, the e-commerce is going to work? How many do I print? Right. Cause then you got to weigh, if you do a small run, it's more expensive. So the profit's down, but
yeah.
if you do a bunch and then you don't sell them, then you're stuck with them. Right. Like that's kind of how that part of the business would work.
You're totally onto it. Correct. So, you know, let's say random number Kickstarter, I get 3,000 people that want to buy the game. I would probably go to my manufacturer and order 5,000. I'd say, cool, here's the 3,000 for my Kickstarters. Get them out to the Kickstarter backers right now. And then those extra 2,000, send those to me. They'll sit behind me in my room right here or in the garage. I'll coordinate with warehouses sort of around the States. We'll get them set up somewhere. And then those would just go out as orders kind of come in through the Amazon or through my own website. And then once I run out of that, then it would be a check to see like, all right, is there still demand? Is there 3,000 more people out there that still want a copy of Pantheon that didn't get a copy? In that case, I'd go back to my manufacturer, say, turn the presses on again. Let's make 3,000 more, send them to me, and we'll start making them. But that is the trouble, though. Sometimes, we all know of games that we love that have gone out of print, so to say, which means that they're just not making any more of them. And so you've really got to search around and hope that you can find one somewhere. Yeah. And that does happen, especially with small time publishers. You want to be able to get them to every single person, but that 5,000 and first customer that wants Pantheon, I can't go to China and tell him to make one more.
Right. No, that's my father-in-law's wheelhouse. He finds those in the thrift stores, because he knows, it's like, oh, this one's out of print. This one's going to be, somebody's going to want this one. And you just never know, when you come across it's the thrill of the hunt for him, but he does keep an eye out for, an occasional, he's had a couple of good finds at the thrift store of games that are, very, very well wanted, but not available. So, and then of course the other thing.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
If you sit on them too long, then they reprint it, then it becomes worthless. Everybody wants the new one. I guess it depends. Sometimes they make the components aren't as nice and people want the older versions of them and all that,
Right.
Well, hey, Trevor, I really do appreciate you taking some time to talk to me here. That's going to be Pantheon on Kickstarter. You have up until October 9th, but don't wait till October 9th because that's going to put too much stress on Trevor. Go buy it. As soon as you hear this, go buy it. And then, I look forward to, playing it with you and maybe in January at ESCON if you're going to be back out there. So
that would be great. If I can plug one more thing is on Kickstarter right now, there is an exclusive that if you buy it on Kickstarter, you're not going to get it on the next print. And that is there's a tray, and it's a really cool plastic tray that's the shape of a column. And it's a tray to hold your elements, your little tokens. So you can use it for any game, but it's going to come for free in your game right now. You can see a picture of it on the Kickstarter page, but it's this really cool tray. Anytime I play a game, I'm always sort of fussed with all the pieces that are spread around. So we get little, shot glasses, and we'll put our pieces in the shot glasses. So this is a great little way to hold all your pieces for any game. It's got three little sections in it to hold three different pieces. It's the Kickstarter exclusive. So if you want it, if you're thinking about getting Pantheon and you want this exclusive piece, you got to get it on Kickstarter.
All right.
The other thing is I just wanted to give a quick shout out to my two partners. LaunchBoom is a great program. They really help you get set up to have a great successful day one. So you know how I funded in 26 minutes? A lot of that was from the mentorship and the training and the help and the advice from the program called LaunchBoom. You'll see it sort of all over Kickstarter. They have a really great mentor team, and they really help you go from just a basic cardboard or paper prototype all the way ready to have a successful day one. So they've been a really, really great partner so far.
Nice. Awesome.
Other than that, I've got another teammate, which is Do Fine Games. And they are my manufacturer. They're over in China. They make Cascadia. They make Leaf. They make a couple of these other sort of really popular games. And they've been super, super helpful in just going back and forth and working on the manufacturing details. They've really given me great advice for how to set up my art files, how to design for really good cost-effective manufacturing. So the two partners that I would like to just, they're not paying me to say this. I've just had a great experience with them is LaunchBoom. So if you're thinking about launching a game, go check them out. And Do Fine Games. If you've got a game and you're ready to check out manufacturing, go talk to them.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that with us. I look forward to seeing you again at the next ESCON. And, when your next project comes up, give me a ring and we'll talk about it again.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciated talking with you.
All right, Trevor, take care. And I will send you the links to the show. We just put up our episode for this week today. So I think this one will come out next Friday on the 20th, but I'm going to put it on our Patreon before that. So it'll just be available for people to see. And that'll just be for everybody, paid or not. So it'll be out there immediately. I'll give you the link to that, but then it'll be in the next show although I think we might be off because I'm going to Disney World, so I might just make the whole show, instead of not having a show the week that I'm at Disney World, I might just put this out as its own little show. So I'll keep you posted to whatever we're doing there, and you know, look forward to supporting you in your future endeavors too.
Perfect. You know, honestly, because there is that big hype at the very end, posting it later on, or, you know, posting it on October 5th or 6th, it isn't a problem for me, because people, they start getting that, you know, the antsiness of like, oh, it's going to end soon. It's going to end soon. So if you want to post it later, that works well for me as well. Whatever kind of works with your timeline. But yes, it was great. Really fun talking with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving me a chance to talk about the game.
Yeah, anytime. And then I would say the same thing if you got, you know, other colleagues that are working on their own stuff and they want to talk to a geek podcast. We're happy to talk to folks about their stuff. We just kind of want to promote the whole, we just want the community to be, whatever, whether it's board games or role-playing games or comics or whatever, anybody that, you know, we can interview, we want to try to do that. So I appreciate you taking some time for me. All right.
Perfect. I'll shoot you an email with the link so that you can go ahead and have that and put that in description so people can make their way over to the Kickstarter page.
All right. So one more time, it is Trevor Kurth with Archwood Games. Is it archwoodgames.com out there too? They can check that out.
Let me see, actually. There's a bunch of weird things in the background that websites link to websites link to websites. But yes, right now, if you go to archwoodgames.com, that does automatically forward you to Kickstarter.
Oh,
that
was easy too.
You can go to as well.
All right. And then it's Pantheon on Kickstarter now through October 9th. Pantheon.
Perfect.
All right. Thanks, Trevor.
Excellent.
Take care.
Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Bye. All right, that was a great interview with Trevor. Thanks for the time there. Please check him out on Kickstarter and look up Pantheon on Kickstarter and back that project. And then if you want to support the show, remember to check us all out. All of our links are on the link tree at GeekStuffTNG. You can find links for all of the members of the crew, including Sandwich's Twitter account, which he's posting on frequently, I think, these days. But you can also join us over on the Discord server, watch the show live, all the good stuff. So this is the wrap-up music time of the show, and then we will end this episode of Geeked Up, episode 779, the way we end some shows by saying... Good night, Tom Bauer, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Where there's a wind, there's a way. Where there's a wind, there's a way. Where there's a wind,
we don't want to go to war today.
Where
but the Lord of the Lashes has been a name. We're going to march all day.
There's a way, where there's a whip, there's a way, where there's a whip, there's a way, where there's a whip, there's a way, left, right, left, right, left. Where there's a whip, there's a way, left, right. A crack on the back says, we're gonna fight. There's a way, where there's a whip. There's a way, where there's a whip.
We don't want to go to war today, but the Lord of the Lashes has been a name. We're going to march all day, all day, all day.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.
All right, hey. All right, good job, guys. Let's just not come in tomorrow. Let's just take a day.